We will call the meeting to order. Is there a motion regarding the minutes from the April 24th and the ad hoc meeting from April 26th?
Mr. Chairman, move to approve.
Motion to approve. Is there discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Before we move to consumer reports, we have got just an incredible announcement today, and that is the fact that Ms. Karen Kramer, our staff attorney, has been or will have been with the state of South Dakota as an employee and servant for 25 years on May 18th, if my information is correct. And on behalf of the Public Utilities Commission and the people of South Dakota, I want to thank you for your dedicated service to the people. And with that, a 25-year pin. Mr. Rizlov is here saying, only 25 years? Nothing. So you have things to aspire to yet, Karen.
I do. Thank
Very
you.
Good. With that, Deb Gregg.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. The Commission received a total of 78 contacts since the last report was prepared for the April 24th, 2012 Commission meeting. 12 of the contacts involved telecommunication service, 20 of the contacts involved electric service, 11 contacts involved natural gas service, 8 contacts involved cell phone service, 13 contacts related to the Do Not Call registry, and 14 contacts related to issues not regulated by the PUC. 703 of the 721 complaints received in 2010 have been resolved. I'm happy to report all the complaints in 2011 have been closed.
Thank you. Questions from the Commission? Seeing none, thank you. And just a reminder for those of you on the phone, if you could put your phones on mute, we're getting some feedback noise from somebody out there. We'd appreciate that. We will move on to the first docket, which is EL 12-029, in the matter of the application of Black Hills Power, Inc. for approval of an environmental improvement adjustment and the question dealing with the filing fee. I will go to staff first on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Ryan Swam, part of staff. You simply stated the you completely stated our request, just as included in our letter on May 7th, that we are asking the Commission to assess the filing fee for the energy improvements adjustment, and that is permitted under SDCL 4901A-8.
Thank you. And if I could just be very clear for the public that might be listening in, you're requesting a filing fee in the amount of $50,000, but that is for actual expenses only. And so if those actual expenses are less than $50,000, that would be the amount that would be paid, correct?
That is correct. And in this specific case, staff does not yet predict the need to hire any outside expert consultants, so these this filing fee will only be used to cover staff's actual time spent on reviewing this document.
Thank you. Mr. Kilpatrick.
Yes, sir.
Anything to add?
No, we are in full support of this filing and have no objections.
Very good. Any other comment? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Fegan.
In EL 12-029, move that the Commission assess a filing fee in the amount of $50,000 to account for actual expenses incurred in the review of this filing commencing from this filing date.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Moving on to natural gas, NG 12-002, in the matter of the filing of Mid-America Energy Company for approval of its 2011 Economic Development Activities and 2012 Proposed Budget. Do we have anybody from Mid-America on the line yet?
Yes, we do. This is Susan Stewart. I'm an attorney with Mid-American, and with me I have our economic development team, Catherine Coonert and Brad Howard.
And would you like to make a presentation at this point, or would you like me to go to staff first?
I can make a brief presentation.
Please proceed.
What we're asking the Commission to do today is to approve our actual expenditures for 2011 and our proposed expenditures for 2012 for our economic development plan. This is a plan we've had in place for a number of years. It grew out of some rate cases, and it involves some sharing of economic development expenditures between the company and ratepayers, always around about $100,000. One item that came up, I think, at your last meeting was whether there are any lobbying costs included in these amounts, and we have responded to some data requests asking that question about our plan and what we've done when we've gone to the agencies that we financed through this plan. We found that what we are doing is financing the economic development arms, not the lobbying arms of these organizations. So I would ask that the commission approve our actual expenditures for 2011 of $101,800 and our proposed budget of $102,345. And we'd be glad to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Staff.
Thanks, Chairman Nelson. This is Patrick Stevenson with staff. On April 12, 2012, Mid-American Energy submitted its 2011 actual economic development activities and a proposed budget for 2012. This was done in accordance with a decision and order approving settlement stipulation NG01-10, allowing $100,000 in economic development expenses split 50-50 between the shareholders and the ratepayers. Staff's review determined the 2011 actual expenses were in line with those proposed last year, and the 2012 proposed budget is very similar to the proposed budgets approved in the past. Staff recommends approval of the 2011 economic development activities and the 2012 proposed budget. Thanks.
Thank you. Questions from the commission. Commissioner Feagin.
First of all, I want to thank our utilities for investing in economic development because that's extremely important. As commissioners, we do not get to see discovery, and I saw with the Northwestern case you had some discovery on staffing because staffing is the majority of the cost of this proposal. So, Mid-American Energy, could you kind of explain to us on staffing, tell us, like, who those people are, what they do, how much time is allocated to those services?
And I would like Catherine Cooner to respond to that.
Thanks, Susan. This is Catherine, and thank you, Commissioner, for the question. Yeah, our staffing is we have one full-time staffer that that we have completely for that area that out of his time, 60% of his time covers the South Dakota area within our service territory, and that is Brad Howard. So Brad Howard spends a minimum of 60% of his time on an annual basis, representing and serving and working with those entities within the South Dakota area. Brad specifically works with the economic development organizations and the cities within our service territory to make sure that he is assisting them as needed, both with financial assistance, but also with himself. He helps respond to projects. He helps respond to projects. He works on expansion and retention initiatives. He works on building and site and locations, particularly in the instance where the local economic development organizations are relatively small, meaning they perhaps have one full-time staffer or a part-time staffer. Brad then becomes their extra arms and legs as needed to help meet the needs of that community and supports them in various different ways as needed at that point in time. So we at many times feel that we're an extension of the economic development groups as needed and try to fill those gaps both with our financial assistance and then with our actual employee assistance. Also then at points in time as needed, I participate in support of our local economic development organizations as well as any other additional resources that may need to be brought in to support what is occurring up in that area. But the main focus is with Brad Howard, our economic development consultant who is assigned to that service territory.
Thank you. And where is he located out of?
He is out of Dakota Dunes.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Further commissioner questions? I have, Susan, I have one. In the report, you've done a great job of listing economic development advancements in your various service areas. But What type of performance measurement do you have in place to measure, are the dollars that you and your ratepayers are investing, are they making a difference? What kind of performance measurement do you have in place?
I'm going to ask Catherine or Brad to respond to that question.
Yeah, actually, and I'll take that one on again, and this is Catherine again. And again, Commissioner, thank you for the question. We do have some measurements out there, in particular that focuses on the basic business needs and programming that are required for economic development. So we do review what is occurring in each of these areas, particularly when it comes to what is their business retention and expansion, how do they work projects, what's their marketing, what are their websites. And so we make sure that we work very closely on all those various initiatives. And then if we are supporting a particular initiative, say they're asking for funding to update their website, we ask for feedback, we ask for reports, we ask for, what their successes are and their accomplishments are. And typically we don't make an investment into the organization's initiative or program until it's actually complete and we have the review from the staff of where they're at in the status of that particular project. So we stay very close in contact with a particular staff people within the organizations we support.
Thank you. Any other questions? Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that in NG 12-002, that the Commission approve Mid-American's 2011 economic development activities and the 2012 proposed budget.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Mid-America, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to telecommunications, TC 12-028, in the matter of the filing of Knowledge of the Plains for approval of revision of its access services tariff. And we'll go to staff. Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pat Stephenson with staff. Staff has reviewed Knowledge of the Plains tariff revisions for compliance with the VoIP PSTN provisions of the recent FCC order. After staff analysis and recommendation, Knowledge submitted a revised tariff on May 1st, 2012. Their tariff revision is now modeled after the recently approved LECA tariff with a slight alteration to account for the company's specific IP traffic that they have. Staff recommends approval of the tariff effective as filed. Thanks.
Thank you. Do we have anybody from Knowledge on the phone?
Yes, this is Bruce Schoonover from Knowledge.
Anything that you'd like to add?
No, not at all, other than I enjoyed working with Pat. This was my first experience, and he did a very good job, and I appreciate his assistance.
Thank you. We appreciate that comment. Is there any questions? Seeing none, is there a motion? Commissioner Fegan.
Mr. Chairman, in TC 12-028, move that the Commission approve the requested tariff changes.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Moving on to TC 12-030, in the matter of the application of Envoy, Inc., DBA Envoy Voice Services for a Certificate of Authority to provide local exchange services in South Dakota. Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pat Stephenson with staff. On March 27, 2012, Envoy Voice Services filed an application for a Certificate of Authority to provide facilities-based and resold local exchange service in accordance with the Commission's administrative rules. On April 30th, 2012, we received an indemnity bond in the amount of $25,000 as Envoy plans to bill for services before those services are rendered. Staff recommends the Commission grant the Certificate of Authority to Envoy Voice Services subject to rural safeguards.
Thank you. Mr. Ferenc, do you have anything to add?
Mr. Chairman, this is Brett Parenchek, and I do not have anything to add, but we do have Mary Bewley of Envoy on the line if there are any questions.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? I do have one for Mr. Stephenson regarding the bond. And you explained the need for the bond. Do we have any idea the volume of the billing that's going to be occurring prior to services being rendered?
No, that wasn't one thing that came up. We, I guess, to start, I would say that the bond wasn't in any way due to anything noticed with the financials. It was just a matter of a standard staff procedure. Any time that a company comes saying that they're going to do any kind of prepaid services, that we require the bond to protect the consumers. And in this case, it's a billing the first of the month for the coming month services. So just kind of standard procedure.
So if something were to go awry, we're not going to be awry for over a month's worth of services is what you're telling me. It's going to be a pretty short amount of time.
Correct.
And how did you arrive at the bond amount?
Just standard from what we've done in the past.
Okay. Thank you. No further questions for me. Other commissioner questions? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll
go ahead, Commissioner Hansen.
Go ahead. There's a delay on the telephone. Go ahead.
Okay. In TC 12-030, I will move that the commission grant the authority, the certificate of authority to Envoy, Inc. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Move on to TC 12-032 in the matter of the filing of SS Telecom, Inc. for approval of revisions to its intrastate switched access tariff number one. Staff.
Thanks, Chairman Nelson. Pat Stevenson, staff. Staff has reviewed the SS Telecom tariff revisions for compliance with the VoIP PSTN provisions of the recent FCC order. SS Telecom concurs with all rates, terms, and conditions of the LECA tariff, excluding the exceptions defined in their tariff. Since SS Telecom's interstate switched access rates exceed their intrastate switched access rates, LECA's VoIP provisions need to be one of those exceptions. Staff recommends approval of the tariff with a December 29, 2011 effective date.
Thank you. Wendy Harper, anything to add?
This is Wendy Harper. No, I have nothing further to add. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that in TC 12-032 that the commission approve the requested tariff changes with the effective date of, was that December
29.
29. And was there a contingency that needed to be added to this that Pat recommended there?
Nope, there wasn't.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's the entirety of the motion then.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion.
And that's December 29, 2011, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. TC 12-033, in the matter of the filing by SANCOM DBA Mitchell Telecom for approval of revisions of its intrastate switched access tariff number one. Mr. Stephenson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pat Stephenson of staff. Staff has reviewed the SANCOM tariff revisions for compliance with the VoIP PSTN provisions of the recent FCC order. And just like SS Telecom, SANCOM concurs with all rates, terms, and conditions of the LECA tariff, excluding the exceptions defined in their tariff. Since SANCOM's interstate switched access rates also exceed their intrastate switched access rates, LECA's VoIP provisions need to be one of those exceptions. Staff recommends approval of the tariff with a December 29, 2011 effective date.
Thank you. Ms. Harper, anything to add?
No further comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Seeing none, is there a motion? Commissioner Fegan. Oh. I will make a motion. TC 12-033. In the matter of the filing by Sancom, Inc., DBA Mitchell Telecom, I move that the commission approve the requested tariff changes. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. And moving on to TC 12-034, in the matter of the filing of Sprint Communications LP for approval of revision of its access services tariff number 3, and the question is on the withdrawal of the filing. Staff.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, in this matter, Sprint Communications Company LP has requested withdrawal of the filing, and we would recommend approval of that.
Thank you. I don't believe there's anybody from Sprint on the line. Is that correct? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I will move that the commission approve the withdrawal of TC 12-034 by Sprint Communications.
Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. And before we move into the last item, I just want to say to Mr. Stephenson, you got a pretty good workout today. Welcome to the PUC. Excellent.
Thank you.
The last item on the agenda is an item for commission discussion, and frankly, we don't do that very often, just discuss. And the item is on May 4th, 2012, pipeline safety staff filed a letter as an informational filing, 2011 Info PS01. The letter requests commission guidance regarding pipeline penalties in light of legislation to take effect on July 1st, 2012 that increases the penalty maximum. So let's have a discussion, and we'll turn it over to pipeline safety attorney, Ms. Semler.
This is Kara Semler. Thank you. I'm going to kick it off, but we've got audience members, people on the phone with thoughts to share, and we have several staff members, too, that will contribute to the discussion, but I'll kick it off. As you know, commissioners, due to tragic pipeline incidents in other parts of the country, PHMSA has increased its state audit scrutiny, and they've placed a particular emphasis on enforcement. And in its effort to do so, PHMSA has informed its state partners that unless the states follow their penalty guidelines, our funding could be affected. So as a result, the PUC increased the maximum allowable penalties in our state statutes this past legislative session. And those new maximums are going to take effect July 1. So today we are seeking guidance from you as to how we should or shouldn't implement those new maximums. And the way we see it, there's two options for the commission. One, we could continue with our current method. As you know, staff's generated a worksheet that we've used to help make our recommendations consistent and formulaic. And in doing so, in creating a formula, we've looked at percentages and weighted certain sorts of infractions, and in doing so, you have to have a maximum. So the maximum is, we could leave that the same. The second option would be to, in considering that maximum, to use the new maximum, and that's going to raise penalties 10 times. And again, looking to you to help us decide if that's, or to direct us in whether that's what we should do. Nathan can walk through the penalty worksheet, and Cindy Chemnitz is here to talk about how our funding could potentially be affected. So I'm going to turn it over to them.
Very good. Nathan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Nathan Solom with staff. We have a penalty worksheet in front of you. There's two versions. One is the current $10,000 per day maximum.
If I might just interrupt, Commissioner Hansen, do you have these? Commissioner Hansen.
Sorry, I have you on mute, so I'm using a handphones and my computer, so sometimes I'm a little slower here. I have the sites on my computer. I do not have the physical work, the physical worksheets.
It's so Okay, Damaris is going to email these to you ASAP, but go ahead, Nathan.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the it's a step-by-step process in this spreadsheet. There's 9 steps to it. The first one is to classify the severity and determine, put in the maximum penalty to determine the maximum penalty for a particular violation. So, for example, at the current level, the absolute penalty is $10,000 per day. That's what's in statute. And if we have what's called a Class 2 violation, which is a moderate violation, in this particular case, we picked that that would be 75% of the maximum. The maximum penalty then is $7,500. If you use this spreadsheet and you put in the new maximum of $100,000 per day, that obviously is $75,000. Step 2 is to look at the damage portion of the penalty. What does this particular violation, what did it cause in damage? And in this particular instance, we've said this was a high damage issue at 37.5%. So then you take 0.65 is the maximum part of that times the maximum penalty times 37.5 to end up with 1828. And the 65% of the maximum penalty for damage is an arbitrary level that was chosen. So then step 3 is to look at willfulness. Was this done deliberately? Was it just negligent? In this particular example, we said it was negligent. The maximum penalty for willfulness is 12.5% of maximum. So you take the 12.5 times the maximum penalty times the level that you put in for negligent, and we're saying here that it's 80% of the penalty because the operator did not act in a responsible manner, should have been aware of his activities. So then it comes down to $750. And step 4, the violation history. If there's been previous violations from this operator, then you plug in a number and it multiplies an additional amount of money that's added to the penalty. In this case, in this example, there were no other violations, so that's left at 0. So the basic penalty comes down to step 5. At 2578, then there's a cooperation adjustment in step 6. In this case, the operator was cooperating, and you can subtract the arbitrary amount of 7.5% of the total for good cooperation. So the cooperation factor in this case was 15%. That brings it down to 2191. Step 8 considers whether there's economic advantage for the operator to not pay the penalty, and it gives an opportunity to put some money in to the penalty to offset that. In this case, there was none, so we end up with a total penalty of 2191. And in the case of the $100,000 per day level, that penalty then is $21,910. So it just works through that spreadsheet. This is what we've used in the past. So the question is, with the new penalty level, do you want us to continue using this spreadsheet, modify it, or keep the old penalty levels? Well, that's what we're looking for guidance on.
Thank you. Cindy, do you want to add anything, or only if needed?
I do.
Certainly.
Maybe This is Cindy Kemnitz for staff. The only thing I would add is the funding, how the funding works is, let's say that the feds would decide to ding us on our funding because we didn't penalize at the rate that they would like us to, then all of the pipeline safety companies that we charge would bear that burden. You see what I'm saying?
I guess maybe I have a question for Nathan, because they give us guidelines on maximums. I did not realize they gave us a worksheet. The federal government gave us a worksheet.
This worksheet was developed in-house.
That's what I thought. It was from South Dakota. Mm-hmm. So do you have – I'm not for sure what Cindy's saying. Is that if we don't fine at a certain level, we'll have ramifications? And what level is that then?
What Cindy's saying is that the pipeline program is totally supported between a combination of grant funds and pipeline fees assessed to the operators. And if the federal government determines that we're under-penalizing and reduces our grant funds, that increases the amount of funds that the operators have to pay for our services and inspecting them.
And can you let the commissioners know how the federal government comes in and determines that we're not assessing fines at the level that they choose? Do they give us guidelines? I know they give us the maximums, but...
They do an annual audit, and this is a new... review of states to specific to enforcement is relatively a new action that they're taking, so we don't know exactly how it's going to shake out and what they're going to assess. It's not like they've said, if you don't assess this penalty level, you're going to lose this amount of funds, but some action will be coming in the future of some sorts.
So the federal government is threatening the states, if we don't assess at the level they want us to assess, although they give us no guidelines on that, so in South Dakota we can choose that, correct?
There's no guidelines issued yet, no.
Thank you.
Thank you, and Commissioner Feagin, I appreciate that question. I was going to go down that same road. I mean, that to me is pretty concerning when they threaten but don't tell you what the bar is that that you have to meet. Cindy, anything further? Okay, thank you. I appreciate your contributing that. With that, we've got a number of industry people on the line. We've got some present, and Northwestern, do you want to add anything? Do you want to testify? We'll give you the first shot, and then we'll go to the folks that are on the phone.
Oh, sorry. Thought it was on. And with me is Melissa Baruth. And do you want to say your title?
I'm the DOT coordinator for the state of South Dakota.
And Melissa's out of our here in office. And we appreciate Nathan and Kara for letting us know and inviting our participation with the discussion activities today on this important issue. And first of all, we just kind of, you know, we want to acknowledge that, you know, PHMSA's direction is to protect the public safety through, you know, good operation and maintenance of pipeline systems, natural gas pipeline systems in the United States. And we understand that we have a responsibility as a pipeline operator to make sure that everything that we do from an operation and maintenance perspective meets necessary federal and state guidelines to ensure that our systems operate in as a safe manner as we possibly can do. And we also understand that when you have an operator who's, you know, grossly negligent in what they do and they are causing potential harm to public safety, that they need to be held accountable for their actions. But what we are hoping to accomplish today with this discussion with the commission and others is that we want to do our role, maintain our role in protecting the public safety to the extent that we possibly can, with good operation and maintenance activities and working in conjunction with Nathan and Kara to make sure that our operation procedures meet the necessary guidelines. But we also want to use a reasoned approach when it comes to assessing penalties. And we want to be involved in the process with the commission and your staff in looking at how we may need to make some modifications or not to the existing form that's being used by staff to make sure that we do what we're obligated to do.
I would just echo some of the things that Commissioner Feagin said, and the fact that, you know, I understand that PHMSA wants us to go up to the maximum, and in extreme cases, those maximums might be warranted. And if we do need to go that route to ensure PHMSA funding, then I would just advocate that we relook at the worksheet, which was developed in-house, and make it more appropriate for those smaller violations, but still have the ability to go up to the maximum if an extreme situation warrants it. But using the current worksheet and going up 10 times is a little startling, to say the least.
And quite honestly, we'd rather pay more from a contribution perspective than be have fines levied against us to try to keep the system financially intact.
And just speaking on that a little bit, the way that we're assessed annually is based on your numbers of meters and numbers of miles of pipe. And so being one of the larger operators in the state, we do bear a significant percentage of that cost, and we are still open to that rather than being assessed fines.
Thank you. Appreciate your participation. Anything further? Okay. Any questions from the commission? Okay. If not, do we have Daryl Anderson from MDU on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Anything you'd like to add, Daryl?
You know, I'd like to concur with a lot of the comments that have been made here, and from Montana Dakota Utilities perspective, we appreciate the option or the opportunity to discuss this topic, and I appreciate Nathan sending us notification for this. A lot of the comments that have been made certainly is the direction that we would like to see the commission go, and that would be to take a reasoned approach. It seems a little abstract to just multiply everything by 10, and we are concerned with that, and we concur pretty much with the comments made by everyone here.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Seeing none, Randy Risen from XL, would you like to add anything? Randy, are you on the line? If you're speaking, we're not hearing. Okay, we'll move on. Tom Hutchins from Mid-America, would you like to add anything?
Yes, if I could just briefly. First of all, we appreciate the opportunity that availed to us by Nathan and the commission to at least attend and listen to what's going on here. Do not have a lot of comments to add to what has already been said. Obviously, the reasoned approach makes perfect sense. We understand the difficult position that the states are put in by the changes that are being suggested in terms of funding, and we understand the difficult decision that has to be made. So really don't have anything further to add at this point in time, just appreciate the opportunity to listen in and hear the comments that are being made.
Thank you. Anybody else that wishes to testify on this question, be part of the discussion? Okay, seeing none, at this point I would open it for the commission comments. Commissioner Feagin.
First of all, Mr. Chairman, I think all of us, all commissioners and all staff and all the public want to, first of all, protect the public. And that's what we're here to do, and that's our job on a day-in and day-out basis. And I know Nathan takes that extremely seriously, and Kara and their team. But we have to do that in a common-sense way. And we have to make sure that we use reasonableness and we use the South Dakota values that we have to make sure that we're also partners to make sure that we don't assess a fine of $20,000 on a paperwork issue that isn't reasonable at all. I believe we need to keep our current financial amounts but change the percentages so they're similar to the fines that we currently have, but the percentages would change in your worksheet. But then the commission also and staff have the ability to assess a fine that is severe when it needs to be severe.
I'm going to just take a moment here. We understand that Randy Risen may have gotten dropped off and is back with us. Randy, are you with us? trying to get in. Okay, well, we may still take some testimony if he gets back on. Commissioner Hansen, anything that you'd like to add to the discussion?
I certainly would, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate very much the opportunity to express publicly my opinion on this, and I especially enjoyed hearing Commissioner Feagin's statements about reasonableness and caution on simple, not overfining and overregulating. That has been a huge concern of mine for many years, and as a I'll give you an example. Commissioner Feagin made a statement about potential for a $20,000 fine for a simple paperwork mistake. And when I was, this is back in the 90s or early, or excuse me, late 80s, early 90s, when I was utilities commissioner for the city of Sioux Falls, we prepared, and these are our forms that we prepared for the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, and they're called NPDES, for assessing the damage to waters as a result of pollution from discharge systems. And we were dinged by the EPA for not filling out the forms completely. They were our forms. We decided there was some information on our forms that we did not need, and so we did not include those. And they fined us $140,000 for doing that. And as utilities commissioner, I said, no, we're not paying it. And we actually hired attorneys from in the state and in Minneapolis to fight it. I sat in the Denver office of EPA with several of their attorneys arguing the points, and they threatened me in the settlement discussions. They personally threatened me that if I did not settle, that they could go after me personally and fine me up to $600,000 if I did not settle. I still have, forgive me, I still have adrenaline that runs. I need to run around the block, I think, a couple times when I even think about it, how upset I was. And I still refused to settle. And we ultimately settled for around $24,000, I think it was, and we spent around $20,000 in legal fees just to get to that point. So I do, as a regulator, very much appreciate Commissioner Feagin's statements that we need to be cautious with things of this nature. I absolutely detested regulators at that juncture, and here I am a regulator now. We have to be very careful how we balance the our regulatory responsibilities. We have to be certain that we protect the public, and at the same time, we have to have a hammer, so to speak, for noncompliance punishments. So reasonableness is very important here, and I will be looking very, very carefully at our worksheet and our process to make certain that we don't overregulate. And ultimately, it's going to be the responsibility of who is in office at the time on regulation. However, we must construct our process now to on a basis of not on a basis of who is presently in office, but who may eventually be in our offices, in our seats, making these decisions so that they do not overregulate, they do not overpunish. The businesses need to be able to operate. At the same time, they need to understand that if they do something that's going to be detrimental to the public, that they're going to be responsible for taking care of it. So thank you, Mr. Chairman. That concludes my remarks.
Commissioner Hansen, I appreciate your sharing your experience of regulators run amok, and we certainly do not want to go down that path with this commission and our staff. Randy Risen, have you joined us?
Yes, I apologize.
Not a problem. Would you like to
dropped off.
To add to the discussion?
Yeah, I just want to thank the commission for allowing us to be a part of the discussion. I'm on for mostly informational purposes. We do not have a large amount of infrastructure in South Dakota, but obviously I would like to just kind of reiterate what many have already said, that we would like a reasonable approach. And I think reworking the worksheet seems to make some sense. I don't think we're opposed to the maximum fines, but to apply them across the board, we feel would not be reasonable.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'd like to make some comments to add to the discussion and maybe try to find a resolution. I guess, first of all, looking back at the bill that the PUC sponsored in the last session to raise the penalties to the higher level, because we were threatened, perhaps, by the feds to do that, I did support that. But it was with my understanding that those maximum penalties would only be used in some egregious situation. And hopefully we will never, ever see an egregious situation in this state. If our staff is doing their job and the utilities are doing their job, we won't ever see that, never see that need. And so that's my great hope. Not realizing that that would impact on the worksheet that our staff uses, and hence the discussion we have today. Let me say about the worksheet that you all have developed. I like it. It's something that I can follow. It makes sense to me. It allows you to use a number of different criteria to bring the fines to a reasonable conclusion. And in the few times that we've had to look at those fines, it appears to me that you've found a reasonable number by utilizing your worksheet. And so I don't want to throw the worksheet out. I think we need to keep it. But what I would propose for discussion, and I don't know that we need to take any action today, but maybe something that you all, and I think, are you all looking for just information to go back, just kind of what our feeling is, Nathan?
Yes. Yes, we're looking for input to see how to fix this so it is reasonable.
Okay, and so what I would propose, and then maybe if I could get a response from my two fellow commissioners to see if they're going down the same path. When I look at 4934B-12, and that talks about the things that we as a commission can take into account when we set penalties, and one of those is the size of the company that we're dealing with. And as we think about the penalty size that the feds have told us we have to have, they're not thinking about our companies in South Dakota. I'm guessing they didn't think about Northwestern when they were setting their maximum penalties. They're thinking about larger companies. And so I think, and what I would propose is that you add one more section to your existing worksheet that deals with size of company. And realizing that the size of companies that the feds are taking into account are huge, and what we have here are much smaller. And so utilizing another section would perhaps allow you to take into account the size of our companies and utilize a factor that would reduce the penalties back to what we currently have.
Mr. Chairman, could I draw your attention to step 7?
Yes.
Under there, there's a section, ability to pay, which is what we were considering kind of equivalent to size of the company. So we can change that, or if you're okay with that being equivalent, it may already be in here, depending on your view.
Would modifying that step, would that allow you to make the tenfold reduction that we'd need to bring these penalties back to what we're currently assessing?
I think we probably need to look at, to get it down, we probably need to look at doing something on Section 1 where it establishes the maximum level. Otherwise, it carries through all these other steps. Otherwise, we'll be taking a large change in step 7 to reduce it down again.
Right, and I'm not sure that that's the appropriate place to do it. But I guess my thought would be, I want you to continue using this worksheet because it's something you all are familiar with and it's something that I can follow and I like. But I think we need to add one more line in here someplace to take into account the size of our companies versus what PHMSA had in mind, the national level companies, that would get us that tenfold reduction,
okay,
so that we're back to where we're at today. That would be my thought. The last thing that I guess I would say, you know, if, you know, PHMSA is going to come in and do an audit against some unknown bar, and if they don't like what we've done, I will not allow this state to be blackmailed in this particular area by some unknown bar that they've set. And so I think we need to do what's right for this state and for our companies, and utilizing the existing worksheet. With that, that's my thoughts. Feedback on that, Commissioner Feagin?
I'm going to go back to my statement before, and I just think, and I probably wasn't as clear as I needed to be, I think you just need to go back to the worksheet that you have, which is a great worksheet, and change the percentages so the financial amount, the dollar amount, is the same at the end. It's just your percentages need to change probably tenfold, actually, or whatever. It's not tenfold, but so it equals tenfold.
And I think, like Nathan said, if we add a category to the first step, I think it can do that, because that first step is what establishes the severity percentage of what occurred, and then from there the rest of the steps follow. So by adding a category there where we can step it down, I think we'll accomplish that.
Commissioner Hansen, your feedback.
I appreciate the comments from both my fellow commissioners, and it's along the line of exactly what I wanted to do. I'm going to play with the I'll call it a chart for a little while, and then see if there's something in addition that I, or something more creative that I thought of. But I like both of your comments.
Thank you, Commissioner Hansen. Greg Urslov.
Yeah, I had a couple of thoughts. I'm certainly not an expert in pipeline safety, but as I read this, and when we interact with utilities, normally we deal with some fairly objective measures, and I'm talking on the financial side where we see a bottom line number, whatever, and it appears to me as I read this document that there's a lot of subjectivity that goes into these measurements, and I understand that it likely has to be that way, and I also understand Nathan has spent a lot of time with the feds and a lot of time with these measures, and he can probably see that in a much more objective manner than when I could from a casual reading. But I did have a couple questions of Nathan. If you make a judgment that utilities' cooperation, perhaps their damage potential, their willfulness, you look at mitigating factors such as the economic impact, it seems to me that there's a significant amount of subjectivity. Yet, would it be true if the utility objected to your evaluation that alone could generate a higher penalty because they would lose, the cooperation factor?
I kind of viewed that a little differently. It would depend on whether they provided information that we needed to resolve the issue. If they disagreed with the penalty itself, I would not review that as a lack of cooperation. It would be whether they let us do our evaluation and got us the information we needed.
I guess my question would be this. Is there a right of due process that's embedded in here that I'm just not seeing, that they wouldn't be fined for, let's say, going to the commission and objecting to, you know, some evaluation within this document?
I think the due process is in our administrative rules. They can object to this and go to hearing before the commission.
And that wouldn't cause you to raise the penalty for a lack of cooperation?
No. Yeah, even if they agree, of course, it has to go to the commission because the penalty has to be approved by the commission.
You know, and I'm going to throw this out for the three commissioners to consider. I don't know if this makes any sense, but because, you know, there is a considerable amount of objectivity or subjectivity in my view, and you're dealing with the feds that have now become, a little more concerned or at least they want to put a higher price tag on things. Would it be possible, even with this higher starting point, to expand your ranges because you have usually you have three, maybe four measures. I can look in here, but it goes from willfulness, recklessness, negligence, unintentional. Three of them sound pretty bad to me, but is there a possibility that saying, from 75 to 100, you could expand that to say, 25 to 100 and give yourself a lot more leeway on these penalties than perhaps what this worksheet would imply?
That certainly can be looked at, you bet.
And the reason I say that is because of the apparent subjectivity of the measures. It would allow you to move down, say, closer to the penalties as they now exist rather than 10 timesing them almost automatically by the ranges that exist. Just a thought. Thank you.
Any other comments for the discussion? Anything further? Yes, Ms. Bonrud.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pam Bonrud from Northwestern Energy. And this isn't meant as an attempt to hijack the process here or anything like that, but as I was listening to this, I'm just wondering if it's possible to maybe have a small work group with the staff and maybe some company reps to look at the form and work together, because it would help us better understand the process Nathan's using as he evaluates situations when they occur. And maybe between all of us, we can come up with something we can bring back to the commission for your consideration and see if you like it or not.
Thank you. Appreciate that input. Any other suggestions? Any other discussion? Okay. Let me ask Nathan and Kara, do you have from this discussion what you need to proceed?
I believe we do, and I thank you all for your input. We will start working on making some modifications and see if we can put together a proposed spreadsheet for review at a later date.
Thank you very much. Anything else for the good of the order? Couple of announcements. We will be reconvening here at 1:30 this afternoon for a visit with folks from Otter Tail and Xcel, and we'll be visiting with folks at Knowledge next Wednesday, and ad hoc hearing May 17th back here, and the next meeting in 2 weeks, May 22nd. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
I believe that on the notice, I'll be attending an event on Monday in Woonsocket, and I would like that on the notice.
Okay. You will be attending
A telecom annual meeting.
Okay, very good.
Woonsocket, and I believe there are other people from our team that will be attending.
Okay, very good. Motion to adjourn. Commissioner Hansen voted aye. Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries.